From courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSE podcast. This is episode 509. I am Andrew, Andrew in our forum, Andrew NLSE on X. With me, as always, my co-host Derek, DP3 in our forum, and DP3G and DP384 on X. Derek, it's a brand new year at the NLSE, or at least it will be when this show goes out. I know we're both excited to continue our coverage of basketball video games for another year. Had a great year last year. We have our year in review up that people can check out for our best of content. But what else is new as we tip off a new year here at the NLSC?
Well, the majority of this episode is going to be us reflecting on the great year that it was for the NLSC and the community in 2023. I looked at our YouTube channel, Andrew, and we had 204 videos uploaded to the channel just in the year 2023, which includes 52 podcast uploads, 52 top 10 uploads, and 100 gameplay videos. And in those gameplay videos include connections with the community via Parsec, our gameplay sessions, whether it be on NBA Jam on Fire Edition, NBA Live 16, NBA Live 96, and One Basketball, etc. And then also our individual uploads, like your NBA 2K14 My Career series, your highlights from season 6 of your NBA 2K14 My Career, you know, me playing NBA 2K11 versus the computer, you know, using the Celtics versus the Lakers, my NBA 2K24 My Team videos, etc. But it really was a banner year content wise for the NLSC, possibly the most content ever produced in one year for the site. And you know, I thank you and the community and whatnot for helping make that happen. It was just a really fun year content wise.
Absolutely. It was really fun to reflect on, and thank you for being my co-pilot, as I said, my co-content creator for the NLSC. So much video content went up this past year, as you said. Great highlight reels, the top 10 every week, our podcast, which we were really enjoyed recording throughout the year. We've always had fun with the podcast, of course, but had some really great shows last year, and looking forward to more shows this year, more videos, more articles, etc. And how difficult was it, Derek, picking our top 10 in each category? Articles, the top 10 plays. I went through the whole year of top 10 plays, watching it from start to finish. That was a blast. But then, now I have to pick just 10 of these? That was tough.
Right. So by the time this episode comes out, you'll see Andrew and my editor's picks related to the content that I was just mentioning, and then also his articles, you know, Monday tip off, way back Wednesday, and Friday 5. And it was brutal trying to choose top 10s for each one of these categories. What I had the most trouble with was actually the gameplay videos. Trying to pick only 10 videos that you uploaded and I uploaded out of all of the videos that were uploaded in 2023 was just really, really tough. But I hope people enjoy our editor's picks, and maybe it makes them go back and look at videos they've watched before, or videos that they, you know, maybe missed and hadn't seen before. And hopefully it also makes some people, you know, pick up some of your articles and take a look at those as well.
Absolutely. And we encourage everybody to binge the archives and the YouTube channel by all means, but we feel that these are a pretty strong starting point to check out the content, or content you might want to check out again if you've already seen it. Yeah, the top 10, just such a great year for the top 10. The highlights just keep getting better and better. I was reminded how many ridiculous dunks were in the countdown this year. That incredible alley-oop you had with Clyde Drexler in 2K14. All of Lookie the Gamer's putbacks, the putback king, of course. Just so many great regular contributors to the top 10. Going back and watching our highlight reels, so many of those across a variety of games. I'm just really satisfied with the content we created in 2023, Derek. But 2024, well, I think we could take it to another level, and I expect we will.
Oh, yeah, we definitely will. I also want to point out that one of the best things about 2023 was the amount of different games that were being played.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It wasn't even mostly 2K23 or 2K24. It was, you know, people jumping into 2K17. Right, exactly. You know, 2K17, 2K16. I had a bunch of 2K19 content go up. We had people playing the mid-2000s NBA Lives, connecting on Parsec on the early 2000s NBA Lives. You and I connecting on the mid-90s NBA Lives, playing NBA Live 10, NBA Live 15, NBA Live 16. We had some Inside Drive on there at B-Ball Video Games, bringing it with some classic arcade games, playing games like NBA Fast Break 98 himself, all of that. And I think that's one of the reasons that at the NLSC is so unique in this space, is that it is truly a celebration of basketball gaming, not only present, but its history. Right. And you're getting gameplay videos and commentary related to all decades of basketball video games. And the beauty of it is we're not just talking about it, Andrew. Right? You and I are connecting via Parsec on these games, playing them ourselves. I'm connecting with the community, with the Wizcard Rushes of the world, the Perditos, you know, Kid Cash, NBA Live Dude recently, etc. So like, we are like, we're playing the games, we're writing about them, we're talking about them, we're uploading videos related to them. So it's just like, in my opinion, it's basketball gaming bliss. It's awesome.
I agree. One of the best things we've done in our 27 years and counting of being a site is rebranding essentially from the NBA Live Series Center to just the NLSC. I suppose we're officially still the NBA Live Series Center in some respects, but NLSC is, we've kind of like ESPN. We just go by the initials these days, expanding beyond the NBA Live Series. That was obviously the right call because Live was going downhill and 2K was rising, and or indeed Live wasn't even coming out when we rebranded to just the NLSC and expanded to 2K officially as well. We had been covering it kind of unofficially, informally before that, but expanding to cover basketball gaming in general was absolutely the right way to go back in 2011. I'm so glad we did. So glad that I can play all these games with the ever-expanding collections that you and I have. And of course, Parsec has been a big part of that, as I mentioned in our end-of-year recap. And that will continue in 2024 with you and I, with other people in the community. Other people are really taking to that, using our Discord to set up games with each other, our Discord and forum to find games with each other, and just such great community spirit. And yeah, we're looking forward to doing more of that in 2024. But you know, Derek, one game that I won't be playing, I really don't think I'll be playing, maybe I'll check it out of morbid curiosity, who knows, is this new NBA Playgrounds game, NBA Playgrounds Basketball Hoops Arcade for Roblox, the online game platform. That kind of came out of nowhere, and what a fall from grace for a series that had some potential.
So 2K is out of the name now, so it looks like 2K didn't want to be a part of this Roblox release. Yeah, the game doesn't look very good. It looks a little janky, I guess you could say, from an animation perspective. I did watch the trailer. It also looks like, while the NBA is still in the name, that the NBA is only possibly being represented through clothing. And that's about it. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to work.
Exciting.
That's what the trailer leads to, right? It looks like more of just a strictly online connectivity game that also has tournaments that people will be able to jump into, but also is quote unquote free to play with microtransactions, right? What do you call them? Robux? Is that what they're called?
Yeah. On Roblox, the virtual currency there is Robux, R-O-B-U-X. Yeah.
So just another fancy name for virtual currency. That's
basically
what it is. So it's going to be a way that maybe, because it's still developed by Saber Interactive, maybe they can make a few more bucks off of it. But this game, I have absolutely zero interest in this. It doesn't look very good to me. And yeah, it does feel like a little bit of a fall from grace.
It looks very much like a freemium mobile game, which I guess it is. That is pretty much what Roblox games are, from what I can tell. I've heard the name before, Derek, but I hadn't really looked into it until now, and I'm not impressed, certainly not impressed with this NBA Playgrounds Basketball Hoops Arcade. Another very clunky title there, just want to throw that out there. But it has a season pass, there are rewards for the season pass. As you say, it's mostly these cosmetics. That's the only way the NBA shows up, is through these having jerseys. You're playing with your Roblox avatar. Dozens of unlockable characters, each with their own strengths, weaknesses, and special abilities for big dunks and bigger wins. Not NBA players, just special characters. Dress up your characters with officially NBA-licensed jerseys from all of your favorite teams. This is a Barbie dress-up game. And there's card packs and everything else. You can earn free rewards through daily login bonuses, but there's also the season passes that you can get. It doesn't look very impressive. It's a shame that a series that did seem to have some potential, they even hooked up with 2K to make NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, and that got MJ in the game, and Kobe and Kareem. It also brought a lot of microtransactions as well. But, yeah, this is not even poor man's NBA Jam at this point. This may be worse than NBA Live Mobile.
When I hear Season Pass, I think money grab.
Exactly.
That's what Season Pass is. It's just another way for them to charge more throughout the year at different times during the year for the game. And that's kind of what NBA 2K is doing with their Season Passes, which they charge for in different tiers and whatnot for NBA 2K24 and probably moving forward. I'm guessing that's going to be in 2K's moving forward as well. So this game to me sounds like, from what I'm hearing and seeing, this seems like a kind of like a money grab. That's how it looks.
It definitely does. And it's a shame because I actually played a bit of NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 on PC this past year, got into it again and actually enjoyed it a bit more than I remembered it, playing through seasons with a couple of teams and unlocking a few more players. Yeah, I have been a bit down on the series, and I do think it is, in many ways, a poor man's combination of NBA Jam and NBA Street, but it does have its strong points. It is very fun to play co-op, as we've talked about before. More fun to play co-op than solo against the CPU, although I did have fun doing that in season mode. So, yeah, it's another series that had some potential, and yeah, that's all wasted now.
You can have a great arcade-style hoops game that moves that slow.
Exactly. Too slow.
That is the biggest complaint I have with NBA Playgrounds, the original, and NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, is the sluggish nature of it. I mean, you are crawling up and down that court, Andrew. Even when you're using Turbo, your players are just super sluggish. I would never consider making an arcade hoops game play at that pace. So I'll say again, outside of obviously having a shot and layup and dunk meter in an arcade hoops game, which I think was also a bad move, I think that the biggest weakness and the thing that killed those games for me overall and makes them have low replay value is just that pace. Now, granted, I will say that, and like I've said on past NLSC podcasts, I do believe I got my money's worth with those games. My brother and I played co-op and beat the story mode on the original NBA Playgrounds, and then we also played a full season and, you know, won the tournament or championship or whatever you want to, the hell you want to call it, on NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. So we did spend enough time with the game where we were like, hey, you know, we got our money's worth. But I just don't think that the games have much replay value at all.
No, it's a lot of grinding as well. I've seen a review on Steam where someone was talking about, oh, people are whining about the grinding and just shut up and play the game. And no, the amount of grinding you have to do to level up players and to unlock players is beyond fun. And that's the point, is that people want a fun journey. You can have a long journey and that can be fun, but or you can have an artificially long journey that is not fun. You know, we've talked about this with the grinding in my career or even my team packs in NBA 2K. Same problem with 2K Playgrounds 2. And that kind of torpedoed the series. It is a shame that they linked up with 2K there and that kind of killed the series. They've come back with this Roblox version of the game, and you know, congratulations to them for getting a game out. And we always talk about how we want to see more basketball games on the market, Derek. So, you know, we're not trying to be hypocritical here and say they shouldn't release games, but at the same time, we want to see good games on the market. And if the new games aren't good, then we're going to call that out. And this doesn't.
Right. I mean, we also have we don't want to see it go in this direction either, though, Andrew.
Exactly.
We don't want to do it like, oh, well, you need Robux to do this, or you need to pay for a season pass, right? Like, so I understand, like, we do want more basketball games to be released, but we don't want companies going down this road,
yeah,
right? Or continuing exactly to go down this road and promoting this style of game creation and promotion. So I think that that's one of the biggest problems. Now, I don't know how Roblox works exactly. I don't know how they're going to, you know, charge in that game, you know, virtual currency wise, and what it's going to need be needed for, used for, et cetera. I don't know what they're going to be doing exactly with season passes in relation to charges and everything, but I would venture to guess that is going to be similar to what NBA 2K does, and even possibly NBA Live Mobile. And, you know, like they say on Shark Tank, you know, for those reasons, I'm out.
No, 100%. And look, I may check it out just to see what it's like, if I morbid curiosity, as I said, but apart from that, it doesn't look like one that I'll enjoy. 2K Playgrounds 2, I'll go back and play some more seasons, unlock some more players, play with them, connect with you. We had a fun time connecting through the game servers to do that. But no, this is quite disappointing to see a series that did have some potential go down that road. But that, unfortunately, is gaming in 2024 and has been for some years now, Derek.
Right, but we're going to stick to the classics, Andrew.
Of course.
And that's going to be part of our next segment here, which is based on reflection. You know, what games you and I were playing in 2023, and what were our favorite connections together and whatnot, and what our New Year's resolutions will also be in relation to basketball gaming. So before I get into my top five basketball video games that I spent the most time with in 2023, I wanted to throw it over to you. You know, what were the games you spent the most time with?
Well, of course, this is not going to surprise anybody, but NBA 2K14 for PS4, playing my career in that. That has been a reliable standby throughout the year. It continues to be a blast, as you can probably tell from the highlights that I've posted on X, Facebook, and Instagram, and of course, the reels on YouTube as well. Just really keen to play that through to the current day. That's one of my goals. Not to jump ahead of the resolutions here, but being able to play that through to the modern day is something that I'd really love to be able to do. Get through to now 2024 in that, and you know, over a decade in that my career. And I'm not really playing 2K24 that much, Derek. So I think that I will be able to make a fair bit of progress on that this year. It will continue to be in the rotation. I have no doubt about that. NBA Live 10 has been another reliable standby, just setting up all the fun scenarios in fantasy teams, and also really enjoyed Wizcard Rush's 2009 roster. And I know I said last year that I would be making a video on that. That is still my goal. Unfortunately, I had that my old desktop crashed, so that really shut down my video production for a couple of weeks there behind with some of those projects. But that is something I want to be talking about. I want to spotlight that roster because that is a great project, as I said last year. NBA Live 10 is just continues to impress me, continues to be a blast to revisit. So again, that will be in the rotation and was throughout 2023. I really got on that kick in 2021, as you recall, but it's just continued to come back and I really enjoy that. Live 18, that was a surprising re-entry into the rotation after we connected and played that game with the Lakers versus Spurs. And Ultimate Team has been a blast to revisit with the Legends, one of the only ways, indeed the only way to play with Legends in NBA Live 18. So yeah, I really enjoyed getting back into that, playing through some challenges, seeing some of the Legends' faces in Live 18. They had some pretty good faces in that game, and the Legends were done fairly well. So Live 18 is back in the rotation. Didn't expect it, but here it is. Another surprising entry into the rotation, Derek, after playing it on a whim, mostly due to the fact that Charles Barkley is in the game, is NBA 2K6. And as you know, and as our listeners know, and as people know if they read my articles on the NLSC, I'm not the biggest fan of the original Isomotion. It is difficult for me to get into those games sometimes because I do miss the right stick dribbling, but I've really enjoyed 2K6. That got into the rotation last year, playing some Legends matchups, obviously. Had a really fun game, Bulls versus Knicks, where I had a great comeback in the fourth quarter with Ben Gordon leading the way. That's one of the top videos that we put in our end-of-year wrap-up. 24-7 mode is intriguing, kind of that early career mode that actually predates microtransactions and all of that nonsense. So 2K6 really captured my attention. NCAA Basketball 09, playing with the classic college teams and had real names to those classic teams. Just love doing that. Honorable mention to NCAA March Madness 08, coming off the bench late in the game, kind of got into that late in the year. Again, intrigued by the classic and all-time teams there and unlocking the all-time teams by defeating them. And of course, NBA Jam on Fire Edition, finishing the road trip on PS3 solo, continuing our mutual road trip on 360/X1, and of course John Z1's mods that are playable on both the emulator and original hardware. Those are probably my top games for 2023.
I gotta say, if you play a game for the first time in a while and you have a good time with it, that can be all you need to become obsessed with that game for a while.
For sure.
And that's what happened with that NBA Live 18 game that you and I had. I love that you mentioned that because that's one of my favorite videos that is uploaded to the NLSC. And it's one of my favorite connections that I had with you in 2023. That Live 18 game where Spurs versus Lakers, where we were using the Lakers, a team that you wouldn't normally choose. We had such a blast playing that game. And it sounds like that spearheaded your new obsession with Live 18.
Sure,
and
I absolutely love
it. I'm glad that I was part of that. And the NBA 2K6 thing is not surprising to me because I think you and I are very similar and how we feel about the first entry on a new console, on a new gen of consoles. There's something unique and special about it.
There is.
Right?
Yeah.
There's something fascinating about it. You know, what they were doing with the presentation, how they were trying to wow with graphics, you know, what they were doing with modes, all of that stuff, what they were doing with animations, you know, how similar is it to the prior gen version, all of that. So, like, I am not surprised at all that NBA 2K6 became a major part of your rotation. Did I think it would reach levels of NBA 2K14 for you? No. But for a while there, it did. And that's wild to me.
Yeah. And having, when you have a great game like you, like the one I had, the comeback win against the Knicks, it just makes you want to play more. And I said it when I covered it in my Wayback Wednesday retrospective of 2K6, that it's a game that can be really frustrating for me one moment. But then the next, a bunch of great plays will happen, and it reminds me why I play the game. And I think a good game will do that. There will be those frustrating moments when it's challenging, and I mean, to some extent, we always want to dominate on the virtual hardwood and make highlights and win games, and sometimes when the CPU isn't playing fair, there's a bit of grumbling, a bit of teeth grinding there, but then a bunch of great plays will happen, and you get back into the swing of things and start dominating again and have a satisfying victory. And it just makes it so special. And yeah, it's why we play basketball video games. And yeah, so 2K6 really became a special one for me. And yeah, the college games are such a novelty as well because I didn't get to play them back in the day. So finally spending a bit more time with them outside of revisiting them for Wayback Wednesday, of course, as I did a couple of years ago, just spending that time with them and redoing the classic teams, fixing up the classic teams with proper names and playing with them. Yeah, those matchups have been really fun.
There was a game that you and I had on NBA Live 15 where I was the Knicks and you were the Clippers. It's that game where you had that steal and throwdown with DeAndre Jordan that ended up in the top 10 plays of the week. It's also the game where I went nuts with Melo at the end of the game and hit a bunch of key baskets and I ended up pulling out the win. That game that we had on Live 15 sparked more interest for me in that title.
Same.
And after we had that session, I was playing NBA Live 15 a ton. Right. And recently you and I have also connected multiple times on NBA Live 16. And that game is super intriguing to me right now. So I'm going to get into mine. So top five games spent the most time with in 2023. So NBA 2K19 is number one, Andrew. It actually overtook NBA 2K17. We had been playing NBA 2K17, my brothers and I, for what, 7 years straight, something along those lines. And you know what? The fresh new gameplay experience that we were getting with NBA 2K19, with my slider tweaks, with the all-time fantasy draft roster that my brother Nick and I put together, it was worth switching. It's just been an absolute blast. Right now, we have an all-time fantasy draft season. My brothers and I, currently our roster has Clyde Drexler, Rick Fox, Tom Chambers, Sean Kemp, and Wilt Chamberlain. And on the bench, we have Jason Williams, Ricky Davis, Orlando Woolridge, Otis Thorpe, Rick Smits, and Walter Herman. I think it's spelled Ehrman. But Rick Fox, my brother Mark locks on him. He's his favorite player of all time. And that's why he starts on an all-time team for us. And when Rick Fox goes out, he stays locked on that position and uses Walter Herman. And my brother Nick locks on Wilt Chamberlain. And when he goes to the bench, he's locked on Rick Smits. And I use the rest of the players. And it just works so well with two people locked and another person using the rest of the players. And we are incredibly deep in that one season right now. We're over 30 games in. We have a separate legend season where it's legends versus regular teams. And we are, I want to say, what are we, 40 games into that season. And then we have another season, another fantasy draft season with just Nick and I, where I'm locked on Shaq and he's using the rest of the players. And we have Tracy McGrady and Paige Stojakovic and Josh Smith and Steve Francis. And we're going against other all-time fantasy draft teams. And in that season, we're like 56 games in. We have an 88-89 single season that all three of us are playing, where my brother Mark is using the Warriors with Ralph Sampson and Manute Bol, and he puts Ralph Sampson 7-4 at power forward and Manute Bol 7-7 at center, and he tries to kill us with them every single game. And he also has young John Starks on the bench, who he likes to kill us with as well. Nick is using the Bulls with Jordan. I'm using the Phoenix Suns with Tom Chambers. We have played hundreds of games of NBA 2K19 in 2023 and all 12-minute quarters, Andrew.
Of course.
Everything I just said are 12-minute quarters. They're all during seasons, all of that stuff. You know, and the more I think about it, NBA 2K19 is one of the best year-over-year improvements in 2K's history over 2K18.
Easily. Agreed.
I really believe that. I think with the proper slider tweaks and using the proper rosters and playing the game as it's presented to you, I think that NBA 2K19 is just an absolute blast and almost kind of a throwback gameplay-wise to games like NBA 2K11 and NBA 2K12. Those are the games that NBA 2K19 reminds me of the most. So 2K19, number one, easily. Next is 2K17, because we still played that quite a bit at the beginning of the season. And we also, once again, with my two brothers, it's the common theme here. We have an all-time fantasy draft, my league, and also an ultimate classic team season where we're all controlling a team of our choice from the past and going against each other for every game. NBA 2K17, Andrew, you and I have connected on it recently. I connected with Kid Cash on this recently as well. 2K17 is just a classic. The gameplay is so solid. It was before 2K got super greedy with the microtransactions and all of that BS. There was still a lot of goodwill there, right? It was the last game in the old motion system, which you and I were huge fans of. So 2K17 is number two. NBA 2K23 is actually number three, Andrew. And the reason is because my brother and I finished an entire 82-game My NBA season and the playoffs. So 98 games because we swept through the playoffs, using legends versus regular teams and, you know, all 12-minute quarters, et cetera. That's with Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, and Wilt Chamberlain in the starting lineup. And then obviously we have legends on the bench. But 2K23, we actually, and I've talked about this on prior podcasts, we actually did get our money's worth with that game. And, you know, we put in, you know, well over 100 hours gameplay-wise just in 2023 on that game. And so that's number three on my list. NBA Live 2000 PC. I know you love hearing that.
Of course.
My brother Nick and I are 54 games into a season on that right now. You've seen some of those highlights in the top 10, like a spin move with Jordan and the dunking in traffic, or my shares on X where it's Wilt Chamberlain just dunking all over everybody. And Wilt Chamberlain in NBA Live 2000 is one of the most dominant video game players I have ever used in my entire lifetime. If you go towards the rim with Wilt Chamberlain, he is going to dunk on somebody. And oftentimes it's not just somebody, it's some people. Like, he'll dunk on multiple defenders at once consistently. And then you'll hear the loud whistle and it will be an and one. And it never loses its excitement. It's always fun. I think NBA Live 2000 is just one of the best NBA Lives of all time. They paid respects to the legends. It's so deep, Andrew, mode-wise. There's just so many different things you can do in that game. The cyber faces got better, like the graphics improved. It's definitely one of their best releases. NBA Inside Drive 2003 is actually number five on this list. And again, the common theme, my brother and I are playing co-op. And we're 40 games into a season, 12-minute quarters, where we're using young versions of the legends who were still playing at that time, and we're playing against regular teams. So you know how Wizards Jordan is in NBA Inside Drive 2003? Well, there's a cheat code that allows you to use young-haired Jordan, so like 80s Michael Jordan. And there's also a code for Sean Kemp, so a young version of Sean Kemp. a young version of David Robinson, et cetera, et cetera. So we have all those guys on a team, and we are having an absolute blast on an underrated basketball video game that nobody really talks about today. The Inside Drive games between 2002 and 2004 are excellent. They were doing a great job with the gameplay, with the stat tracking, with the presentation, all of it. So that is my top five. I will say there's an honorable mention there to NBA Jam on Fire Edition because of you and I playing our road trip. So that's probably number six on the list. You and I connected quite a bit this year playing the road trip. I think we're almost 70% done that mode now. And it never gets old connecting with you on that video game. I think we have great chemistry on the court, and we usually win more often than not. And then also we were playing John Z1's mods quite a bit as well, the Legends edition of NBA Jam on Fire edition. So I it's been a really good year, but those are the games that I've spent the most time on.
No, it's very interesting that 2K23 made the cut for you, but as you said before in previous shows, you do feel like you got your money's worth out of it. You were playing some My Team, obviously finishing that Legend season, and you've got so many great Legend seasons going with your brothers. It's always fun to see those highlights. And Live 2000, as weird as it is for me to see Michael Jordan in a Celtics jersey, although there was a Mike Jordan in a Celtics jersey, of course, as we recently discussed on X when it was brought up. But that is a funny sight, obviously. But I know you love using the Celtics, obviously, to have those fantasy teams. And yeah, it's just awesome to see. And even Live 06, because you've got that going as well, the Legends season. And you've had some fantastic highlights there with Celtics MJ, if you will.
We would have gone all day if I had to name all the games I've spent a lot of time
on. Of course,
NBA Live 06 is on there. NBA Live 2003, Live 2004, NBA 2K14. Spent quite a bit of time with 2K13, NBA In the Zone 2. As you know, I was spending a lot of time for a while with NBA Action 98 when I got that installed on my PC. And I had a great session with you on that using guard number 98. The legend on the Chicago Bulls. I think that I was playing so many different games in 2023, and it really just kept things fresh, Andrew. New experiences all the time, revisiting fun old experiences, etc. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I obviously revisited a bunch of games as well, a few new ones coming into the rotation, as I said, and not to jump ahead to the resolutions, but continuing to revisit games like that will be something I want to do throughout 2024. And you brought up us connecting on Parsec, obviously, and you've been really spearheading that initiative, championing that, rightfully so, people really getting into it, connecting with each other, as I said at the top of the show. And we've had some really fun sessions with a variety of games. And you've also brought up Inside Drive 2003 there. And that was a game that I hadn't played before because I didn't have an Xbox back in the day, didn't know anyone with one either. So that was really fun to connect on that and experience that for the first time. And I just think back to that game we had, that comeback victory, one of our most satisfying comeback victories. And we've had a few this in 2023, actually, but that one was just spectacular.
Down by over 20 with like 3 minutes to go in the game and making that comeback with the Vince Carter-led Raptors and Hakeem Olajuwon, who technically wasn't supposed to be on the team.
We'll take him.
But he was. Yeah, we'll take it. Exactly. They didn't know when they released the game with that default roster that he wasn't going to be there. But yeah, that was epic. That's one of our best games ever that we've had together. I also want to point out, too, that Mike Jordan did play with the Celtics in the 2000 preseason, as Andrew brought it up. This was a big deal in my household. And I believe Andrew said that there was a game that represented Mike Jordan in a Celtics uniform.
Oh, roster update. Roster update for
it was while. A roster update.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, when Mike Jordan signed with the Celtics for the preseason in the year 2000, they were calling him Michael Jordan for the first game or two. And even the graphic said guard Michael Jordan. And in our house, we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Michael Jordan playing for the Celtics.
Technically, yeah.
yeah, technically. He didn't end up making the team. We thought he looked pretty good in that preseason. He didn't end up making the team. But yeah, that's some fun NBA history trivia, I guess you could say.
Before we go on, a reminder that the NLSC podcast comes out every week on the NLSC, mb-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast apps. If you're listening on any of those apps, we'd greatly appreciate a review. To keep up with the show and everything we're doing with basketball gaming in general, connect with us on social media. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. We also have an Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and on YouTube, we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Once again, visit us at NBA-live.com, where in addition to the podcast, you'll also find all of our original content, as well as our forum and modding community. And just to run through a couple of the other games I really enjoyed connecting with you on Parsec this year, Live 10, I mean, as I said, that's been another reliable standby, playing solo or with you. Just so many ideas we still have left to do with those makeshift classic teams. And it's funny how appealing that idea is, Derek, because we have so many games where we have actual classic teams or rosters that add classic teams and retro seasons. Yet there's something really appealing about those makeshift classic teams and fantasy teams. I don't know what it is.
I'm not going to say that it's hard sometimes to play these games with the default rosters, because I think that's also part of the nostalgia, right?
Absolutely. Interactive almanacs, as I say, yeah.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's also kind of fun and unique and creates a new experience when you try to shake things up.
Great.
And that's what we've been doing with NBA Live 10, with those fantasy matchups, you know, putting early 2000s teams together in NBA Live 10 and facing off. We brought it up so many times, you know, Michael Finley, he wasn't on the Mavericks in NBA Live 10, but we put together the 2002 Mavericks for that showdown, and I hit that full court three with Dallas Mavericks 2002 version of Michael Finley. And yeah, you know, maybe that never happens if we don't have that fantasy matchup.
Exactly. So
yeah, I do think it keeps things fresh, and it was definitely fun.
And, of course, NBA 2K14 for Xbox One, or PlayStation 4 in my case, has been so great to continue to play solo, play through that my career into the sixth season now, as you said. But when we finally got that to work over Parsec with the Xbox app, that really broke the seal in us connecting on games from that generation. When we got that working as well as it did, we realized, oh, we can play these games now, co-op. And yes, that was just a game changer, and that game still holds up extremely well, obviously, but finding out that we could do that and make it work as well as we have, produce some really great highlights, which again, you can check out on the YouTube channel, but yeah, that was a really fun game when we finally got that to work.
Yeah, so NBA Live 15, Clippers versus Knicks, was, I want to say, the first game where we were like, hey, we can actually play these mid-2010s NBA Lives, and it work good for Andrew. Right. Like, we were able to, you know, basically find out that we could play NBA Live 15, NBA Live 16, even games like NBA 2K14, et cetera, using that Xbox app in conjunction with Parsec, and have it work where you only have like routine online lag that you've experienced before. Right.
With
like 2K servers and whatnot. And then, like you said, yeah, it opened up a whole new window of opportunities in relation to just a new library of games that we were able to connect online on. So yeah, that is super exciting.
And you bring up Live 15 and 16, and they're the next on my list. I do prefer the gameplay in Live 16 more. I was more impressed with Live 15 than I remembered. We had a whole show about that, actually. Is Live 15 better than we remembered? And I think it is. It still has its issues, obviously, as does 16. I do prefer the gameplay in 16 a little more. Also, the ability to play co-op in 16 puts it ahead of 15 for me. But I love that they're both in the rotation for us now, along with 2K14, PS4, or Xbox One in your case.
Yeah, I've been having fun connecting on those mid-2010s lives with you, and I'd like to get the community in on that as well. So I'm going to have to go on the NLSC Discord and the Parsec thread and let people know that, you know, I'd like to connect with them on those games.
And finally, for Parsec connections for me, I mean, there's been quite a few, but if I'm just picking the top here, NBA Jam on Fire Edition, obviously, like you say, the road trip, we are about 65 to 70% through. I think there's some more that open up. Once we finish the gold challenges and open up the platinum challenges, it will pop up to another 25% to complete, I believe, from memory. But yeah, that is something we will do. We have such great chemistry, as you said. That game holds up extremely well, makes us miss NBA Jam, makes us wish they were still making NBA Jam games today, and that the only option wasn't NBA Playgrounds Arcade Edition, whatever, on Roblox. But as we said, that's disappointing, but whatever. Yeah, but On Fire Edition doesn't get old, and of course we've been revisiting it with the mods that John Z1 made as well through the emulator, where it works fantastically as well. So yeah, On Fire Edition is another reliable standby, and I don't see that changing.
That gets me to my list, Andrew. My top seven with Andrew, basically. Mm. So my top seven connections with you. So number one, NBA Jam On Fire Edition, Road Trip. We've been connecting on it all year. We connected on it last year as well. And you and I have great chemistry on that game. It's always fun, you know, throwing alley-oops to you, you finding me on oops, you know, just the way we play defense, understanding where the other person's going to be at all times, you know, understanding our roles, you know, attacking some of the harder challenges together, using our heads, right? And being able to conquer some of those harder challenges, you know, understanding the mechanics of the game. And I've never had a frustrating session on Road Trip with you, even if we've lost a few games during a hard challenge. Just the game is so fun and you're a good teammate. So we have spent countless hours playing that Road Trip. Otherwise we wouldn't be close to 70% and have so much unlocked.
For sure. Right? You know, we always finish on a high. Even if we have a tough session, we like to finish on that win.
Oh yeah. We always finish on a win. We've never not finished on a win. Number two is the NBA Inside Drive 2003 game, Raptors versus 76ers. Coming back from down 20-plus in, like, the last 3 minutes of the game, just the stuff we were pulling off with Vince Carter, just the great defense we were playing down the stretch. It's one of the biggest comebacks I've ever seen in a video game, and we should be proud of that. And it was also special because, like you said, you didn't grow up with NBA Inside Drive 2003. You only started recently playing it by, you know, connecting with me via Parsec, and you took instantly to that game. And that Raptors versus 76ers game, I want to say, was only your second or third time ever playing NBA Inside Drive 2003. And I thought you played incredibly well, so that must have felt good.
It did, absolutely did. And that is a very intriguing Raptors team. Like we said, Hakeem shouldn't have been there. He did opt to retire rather than play out that second year on his contract in Toronto. But no, it was still fun to play with that 2002-2003 hybrid Raptors team against the 76ers, but they gave us everything they could, and we didn't just want to mess around. We started making a run, and then, you know, I think we can win this. I think we both had that thought, and we just kept pushing, and that happened. And again, this is why we play basketball video games, because when something like that happens, yeah, it's just so immensely satisfying.
They leaned a bit too much on Sam Clancy. In
of all players.
That fourth quarter, which of all players, right, which was surprising. But he also helped us make that comeback because he was terrible. The next one is NBA 2K14 for Xbox One. And the reason why this was special is because it was connecting on your favorite game of the last year or two, right? Like, you have just been obsessed with that My Career on NBA 2K14. You're on season six. I've never received more highlights of any game than NBA 2K14 from you. I get them all the time on X.
Sent you some last night, actually. Yeah.
You sent me some last night. You've been featured in the top 10 on NBA 2K14 countless times, et cetera. And also, there was one session we had on NBA 2K14 that I thought was extra special. Is not only was it connecting on one of your favorite basketball video games of all time, but we were also using your favorite team. We were using the Bulls. Mm. And it was Bulls versus Magic. And using Rose and Joakim Noah and using the players to their real life strengths and having that experience with you and just knowing that on the other end, because I can't see your face while we're having the session, but knowing on the other end that you have a big smile on your face.
Absolutely.
You know, playing that game, using that team, and when something cool happens and everything, that made that extra special. So, yeah, it was great connecting with you on NBA 2K14 for Xbox One.
Yeah, and again, now that we know we can do that, it's in the rotation, and we've loved building on that rotation of games that we know we can always fall back on. That if we're not sure what to play when we want to connect, Derek, we can say, oh, let's play Live 10, let's play 2K14, or Live 16, Live 18, whatever. Just having some reliable go-tos that we know we're going to have a great time, On Fire Edition, of course, as well, that we can just pull out whenever, connect and play them and have a great time. We always have a great time no matter what we connect on. Even a Live 07 is ironic fun, if you will. Ironically fun, or can be. Kids Sports Basketball mention, obviously, as well. But we know that we've got those that selection of games that are reliable standbys, and that's been so important to our Parsec sessions.
No, absolutely. And I already mentioned this session earlier, but it's worth bringing up again. Number 4 on the list is our NBA Live 15 game, where I was controlling the Knicks and you were controlling the Clippers. And it's one of the few sessions we had this year that we were head-to-head. We were versus, Andrew. And that's because that game doesn't allow you to play co-op, which is
for whatever
ridiculous
reason. Yeah.
Oversight by the developers. I can't even believe that a game that was released in 2014, a basketball video game, a sports game, doesn't allow you to play co-op. That is wild.
Silly.
But you had some great plays with that Clippers team with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul. And I went off at the end of the game with Carmelo Anthony. And it was just, honestly, if you go back and watch that gameplay video, and I'm talking to the community here, NBA Live 15 hasn't looked much better than that, Andrew. Like, it was just a really good session with a lot of great highlights, and I think we made the game look really good. Number 5 is And One Street Ball. That one might surprise you, but remember when we played the PS2 version of that game, and we were played co-op, and we played 5-on-5 full court, and we actually played it from, like, that 2K view. And you were throwing south alley-oops to yourself off the backboard and throwing it down, and I was doing some fancy stuff with the professor and throwing oops to sick with it and whatnot. Like, and then we had Escalade in there just taking off and throwing it down on everybody and blocking shots and everything. And One Street Ball, I find, is a very unique basketball video game in that arcade/street hybrid
overlooked
category.
Yeah.
And I just remember having such a blast on that session with you. And I love revisiting those old or older, you could say, you know, arcade/street games. NBA 2K10 for the PC. We did 90s East versus 90s West.
Of course.
And you and I controlled the 90s East for obvious reasons. We want to use Michael Jordan, right? And we were using your updated Legends roster. And so many great highlights in that game. You know, the play that I did with Grant Hill where I crossed over and threw it down, very reminiscent of the stuff that he did in real life. Jordan, even though he wasn't officially in the game, has his own dunk package and he's flying towards the hoop with his tongue out and throwing it down. And he's doing stuff that Jordan did in, you know, real life, you know, dunks that Jordan would do in real life. And I just thought that session was so fun. And I know that on the other end, once again, you were smiling because you were like taking a bow because that was your updated Legends roster that we were using. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I was quite happy that that was the acid test for the roster to make sure that the tendencies were working fine for the players. Cause obviously we were going against the CPU. So we wanted to see them doing their thing and we wanted to see the right animations. And no, it felt after we played that game that the roster had come together quite well and released that roster, and I was very happy to do that. And again, previewing my resolutions for 2024 is to continue to dabble with mods. But no, I love that game. Loved working on 2K10. Another overlooked game, actually. And that's something that I really enjoyed about our sessions in 2023 was revisiting these games that are kind of overlooked, like your And One Street Ball, like 2K10, NBA In The Zone 2. You know, it just revisiting these games that don't get enough attention. Maybe they weren't as good as the NBA Live or NBA 2K of the day, or with 2K10, it's overshadowed by 2K11, obviously, and other games that came after it, but still really great games, worth revisiting, and I'm glad we did that. Again, that's something we need to continue to do in 2024.
We were revisiting games from all different decades, well, whether they were popular or not, whether we liked them at the time or not, and everything, and it just made the year so fun and just gave us so many fresh experiences. I also want to bring up the number 7 on this is mid-90s NBA Lives. I really had fun revisiting NBA Live 98 with you, NBA Live 96, etc. So that's always a good time. We love those games. We grew up with those games. And just, I know that when we boot up those games, both you and I, just the nostalgia floods in and it never gets old. So I also wanted to bring this up really quick before we get into our basketball gaming New Year's resolutions for 2024. The top 5 connections, Andrew, that I had with the community. in 2023. So I had two awesome sessions with Per Dido, who used to be Per DXDO, on our Discord, and he set some highlights on the top 10 and whatnot. One on NBA Live 2003, where he was the Magic and I was the Raptors. And the cool thing about this session is we actually streamed it live. I streamed it to my D4-3 YouTube channel, and there's a bunch of people who tuned in and made comments in the comment section, and it was Tracy McGrady versus Vince Carter. I barely pulled out the win because he is awesome at that game, and that was just such a blast playing that with him because he has a true appreciation for that game and he plays it the right way. So that was super fun. And then we also had a session on NBA 2K13 where we played on the same team. And this time we were both using T-Mac in the Orlando Magic, and we were against the New York Knicks. And this is a game where I had 41 points with Steve Francis and 10 assists, and he was killing it with Grant Hill in that game and just used the supporting cast so well because I was locked on Steve Francis. And once again, he's really good at basketball video games. So playing with him on NBA 2K13, where he knows the game and knows the players and how to use the players to their strengths, that session was a blast, and we came away with the win on that one. And then I also had a session on NBA 2K17 with Kid Cash, where him and I used the 0102 Kings versus the 0506 Lakers using my UCTR roster. So my roster mod that added 50 classic teams. And we played on, I want to say, pro difficulty, which we should have upped that. We should have played on all-star or superstar at least, because we really embarrassed that Smush Parker-led Lakers team.
Smush Parker-led, I love it. not Kobe. Smush.
No, Smush Parker. But yeah, it was bad. I think we played 6-minute quarters and we blew him out by 30 or 40 points. But he was so fun to connect with on that game. And NBA 2K17 is one of my favorites of all time. NBA Live 10 with Wizcard Rush, we played the All-Star game. And again, NBA Live 10 has been a staple for us over the last couple of years. And it's really fun to connect with the community on that. And Wizcard Rush is a great teammate. We played on the same team during that session. NBA Live 2000 with Sluggy Sports. We controlled the Raptors, and we actually lost to the Arvydas Sabonis, Rasheed Wallace Trailblazers because they are absolutely stacked in that game, and they were in real life. But we made a feverish fourth quarter comeback. Both of us had some huge jams with Vince Carter. Some big plays were made by the supporting cast as well. But Live 2000, connecting with him, we got to do that again. And we talked about it on the Discord because that was an absolute blast. NBA Playgrounds, connecting with Avery. I think he also goes by Avery Semp on X. We played a bunch of games on Playgrounds. We were controlling players like Shaq, Kemp, and Jamal Crawford and whatnot. And just some awesome highlights were produced from that. And it was cool connecting on an arcade game with a member of the community. And then Stildo. So I had to do a top six here, actually, because him and I, for the first few months of 2023, were playing our 94-95 season on NBA 2K19. And we just had some epic battles. But yeah, that is it. That's obviously only some of the connections I made with the community. I did have others. But yeah, it was a really, really fun time connecting with the community in 2023.
We say it a lot, but Parsec has just revolutionized basketball gaming in our community. That we don't have to rely on 2K servers or EA servers to have these online games. We can play these old games that never had online support, recreate couch co-op, albeit in an online sense. And yeah, we just had a blast connecting with each other, and you've been spearheading that initiative with the community as well, and people have just run with it.
Yeah, I actually wish Parsec was more popular in the basketball gaming community. I think that too few people still know about it, right? Like, I mean, we do have people in the community that use it consistently. I believe TG So Good uses it quite a bit now. King J Mace, he still does the Elite Street League, and he still connects with people constantly on it. I think he was just running a tournament on NBA 2K24 using Parsec. I believe he posted about it on X. Actually, he did, yeah, because I jumped into one of his streams, Andrew. He was streaming it. And you have people like you and I connecting on it, and then Wizcard Rush and Per DXDO and Cavs 4872 and people on the Discord. But I still wish it was more well known, and I wish people could understand how well it works and how easy it is to connect with people all around the world on any basketball game really that you could think of.
Well, we'll just have to keep pushing it in 2024, which I guess is one of our resolutions, which I guess very smoothly segues, as I am prone to do, Derek, into our resolutions for basketball gaming of 2024. And I mentioned your Live 06 Legends season with your brothers, and seeing that footage, Live 06 PC is my all-time favorite basketball game, as I said in an article, in a much different article last year, that it's one of my, it is my all-time favorite basketball game, and I want to get back into it. I want to dust off my Bulls Dynasty. Haven't actually played that since 2014. It's been 10 years since I dusted that off. Want to break that out and play some more games in my third year of that Bulls Dynasty. Maybe alternate between 2K14, my career, and Live 06 Dynasty. And again, that's really been inspired by your Legend season with your brothers. Live 06 is a game that holds up extremely well. Love how it looks. Love how it plays.
And it was that Jordan dunk in the recent top 10, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, that how can you not want to play the game after seeing that?
Fantastic steal mechanics, just that breakaway, and fantastic fast breaks in 06 PC. A big issue that they fixed after Live 2005. I loved Live 2005, but fast breaks were definitely iffy in that game, as we've discussed before. We played that game with the Nuggets versus Cavs, actually, and we remarked at the time how, as fun as it was, fast breaks were a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I think that the biggest improvements that NBA Live 06 has over NBA Live 2005 are, one, the fact that on the fast breaks, the players continue moving forward on passes. They don't stop to catch the ball. The fast breaks are beautiful flow-wise on NBA Live 06, as opposed to super frustrating, which they were in Live 2005. And then alley-oops. I think alley-oops in NBA Live 2005 are super frustrating. I think the player often doesn't go up when you want them to, or when they do, they just completely, like, don't catch the ball and it goes sailing out of bounds. But on NBA Live 06, they sharpen those alley-oop mechanics and it's actually super fun to throw them and it's way more realistic. So I think those are the two biggest areas of improvement. And then also, honestly, when you're using Legends and you're using these fantasy scenarios like my brother and I are, Freestyle Superstars kicks butt.
Yes.
Like, we absolutely love posterizing people with Jordan and Barkley and Julius Erving and Clyde Drexler and whatnot. Like, it is an absolute blast using Freestyle Superstars, you know, the shooting with Larry Bird and going behind the back with Magic Johnson because he has the playmaker one and whatnot. So that is obviously another big part of our enjoyment with that game recently.
I mean, Freestyle Superstars had its issues. It was a system that was a stepping stone to better solutions, but I think it's kind of underrated or underappreciated for how big of a step forward it was at the time, despite some of those issues.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think bringing more signature style into the games was a hot topic at that time, which is why you started seeing signature shots
Definitely. Being
added around that time for the players. You know, Sean Marion's awkward-looking shot, and, you know, you started seeing more signature shots at the free throw line and everything. I think it was at that time, there was a really, really strong push to add more authenticity to the games, NBA authenticity, and I think they were doing a good job of it.
Agreed. Absolutely. As I said, I'd like to keep working towards catching up to the current day in 2K14 my career. I think that'd be awesome. Obviously, I've already punched my ticket to Springfield, virtual Springfield, in my career in 2K14. But I'm looking to get some all-time records now. That'd be fantastic to play a full-length career and really get Hall of Fame numbers. So that's something I'll be working on. As I said, not really feeling 2K24, so 2K14 is definitely going to be in the rotation. Live 06 coming back in, I hope. I want to continue with some smaller and minimalist modding projects, like I did for the Fixed Legends roster, the Fixed Official roster for 2K10. More of that stuff for some of the mid-2000s NBA Lives, just adding missing Legends to the default rosters. Those can also be then a base for myself or others to work on bigger projects. I would like to tackle a larger project at some point, but I'm going to have to really think about that and settle on one or two games to really focus on to make those projects and just dedicate my time to that in the background. On a similar note, I want to produce some articles and videos that I've had on the list for a while now with our weekly features, including some more game retrospectives, some classic games that have been on the list for years. And I think this will be fun, Derek. Check out an underplayed game from my collection every week, or possibly fortnightly. At the very least, I want to explore one new game per month. Just, again, digging into the collection, playing games I haven't played as much. I just want to make it a habit that hopefully every week, at least every fortnight, I'm playing a new game, or one that's new to me at least, or one that I haven't spent as much time with that I may have just checked out briefly, obviously I'll be covering that for Way Back Wednesday as well. A big reason to revisit these games. But yeah, I just want to keep digging into the collection and finding these hidden gems.
Funny, because earlier today, guess what I put on? Fox Sports NBA Basketball 2000.
There you go.
Because I was like, I haven't visited this since Andrew and I played our Kings game using the PC version. But earlier today, I was playing the PS1 version of it, and I was reminded of why I liked certain aspects of it.
Mm,
right? Like,
absolutely.
We can make fun of the cyber faces because sure. Some of them are super silly.
And we do.
You know, how stiff the animations are and everything. But that presentation on that game absolutely rocks. There's so much nostalgia related to that Fox Sports Net music that used to play on all the local broadcasts and whatnot. And I love the scoreboard and the stat pop-outs. And every now and then you can have a really nice drive and jam. The shooting isn't the worst, et cetera. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And, of course, that's something we'll be doing, once again, over Parsec, I'm sure, revisiting some of these games that we haven't played. And it'd be great to do some videos. And we've talked about doing some streams or at least some commentary where we upload to the channel as well. So it's something that we'll keep in mind for sure.
Absolutely. So let's get to my New Year's resolution. So in basketball gaming, one, keep playing the classics. Honestly, I plan on playing the classics all year long. I plan on sharing that footage with the community. Number two, more connections with the community. I did connect with the community quite a bit in 2023, but I'd like to make more time for it. And I'd also like to connect with some new people. Oftentimes, I am connecting with the same people who show interest on the Discord, people like Per Dido and Wizcard Rush, and you know, if Kid Cash reaches out to me and whatnot. But I would like to connect with some new people as well. And more connections with you, Andrew. I'd like to you know, finish the road trip in 2024. So complete that last 30%, and you know, that'll be something we can hang our hats on and, you know, create more memories with. And I think that would be great. And then, you know, maybe have more connections on NBA Live 06 and then play some of those more oddball titles and whatnot, like Fox Sports NBA Basketball 2000. Also, I'd like to create a little bit, you know, more content for the NLSC. I know that we had 100 gameplay videos that went up, and we had the podcast and the NLSC top 10, but I feel like there's still more we can do with that. And like you had mentioned, you know, maybe streaming sometimes, you know, where we're both on the mic and we're playing a game. And I think the community would love to get involved in that and get in on the chat and watch it back, etc. So streaming and more content is one of the goals, one of my resolutions for 2024. And then also, Andrew, just kind of like keeping up with the consistency that we've had on the NLSC. You know, we release a podcast every single week. The top 10 goes out every single week. And we have gameplay videos that go out every single week. And that can't stop, right? Yeah. I want us to keep doing it. This is going to be an ongoing passion project for both of us, because we love basketball and we love basketball gaming. You know, your dedication to your articles is very similar to like my dedication with my videos, right? My gameplay videos. I think that they go hand in hand in celebrating basketball video games, and it gives our community just kind of a little bit of everything, something they can dip their toes into.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that. I think, like I said earlier in the show, that the NLSC in this space is very, very unique. And I love what we do. I love that we're unique. And I want that consistency to continue.
Same. I'm very proud of that and what we've accomplished and what I'm sure we'll accomplish in 2024. And I would like to make some of my articles into video essays as well. That is something that I'll be doing. I had the Lives of Developer blogs last year. Obviously, the retrospectives, the video retrospectives of NBA Jam 2010 and NBA Jam on Fire Edition. I want to do a few more video retrospectives for other old games, kind of your really big ones. I will also do the written articles as well, the retrospectives. I'll mix it up with both, but lots of fun things. And yeah, I'm already getting excited about what we're going to do in 2024.
I know, it kind of makes me want to like quit this podcast right now and jump on a basketball
on the sticks, yeah.
Yeah, right. I guess you want to just like connect on Parsec right now and play something and then share it with the community. I do want to mention, though, that I want to say it was NBA Live Dude. He commented on my D4Three YouTube channel on one of my live streams where I had the mic on. And he stated that he thinks it would be great content and just a good idea overall for us to do more live streaming, right? Where we are on the mics and everything. And I know that he would tune in, and I know that quite a few other people that are, you know, on the Discord and that interact with us on X, if they knew that stream was happening, that they would jump in and join in on the fun as well. So, yeah, I think streaming could be a priority for both of us.
Before we open up the mailbag, Derek, and get to what the community was doing in 2023, I just want to ask, what was your favorite pickup for your basketball game collection in 2023?
Honestly, my favorite pickup for 2023, Andrew, is NBA Action 98. And several reasons for that. One, I grew up with NBA Fast Break 98, and I had never played NBA Action 98. And what I didn't realize about NBA Action 98 was that it had Chick Hearn on commentary. Well, NBA Fast Break 98 has some random dude, and I don't even know who that person is. I can't find who the I can't find it on a wiki. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know who's doing the commentary on NBA Fast Break 98. And while I didn't hate it growing up, I didn't love it either. But NBA Action 98 having Chick Hearn on commentary is a game changer. He is awesome. He sounds just like he does in real life. He has his funny little rants that he goes on, or little sayings that he used in real life. I really enjoy Chick Hearn on commentary. Also on the PC version, another reason why this is so special is instead of having like that 30 FPS frame rate that you would get on NBA Fast Break 98 for PS1, you get smooth 60 FPS. And how awesome does that look on a mid-90s title? So the gameplay is smoother. I got Chick Hearn on commentary. It has a very cool soundtrack in general. It just screams NBA at that time. And you and I also were able to connect on NBA Action 98 for the PC. And we were able to use the Bulls with legendary guard number 98 versus the Pacers. And we had a blast during that session. I think that game is super underrated. But yeah, NBA Action 98 for the PC was my favorite pickup of 2023.
Now, that's a great one, obviously. And being able to play that, the PC version also was known as NBA Action 98 on the Sega Saturn as well. But yeah, growing up with the PS1 version, it's great to do that. I've enjoyed that with my collection as well, playing some other versions of games that I didn't play back in the day, as well as obviously adding things like the college basketball games. My two favorite pickups, I'm going to have a tie here, Derek. I have to cheat and have a tie. Lakers versus Celtics for PC, complete in box. That was big.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Finally got it.
Absolutely. Just looking around for a cheap copy, found one. So that was fantastic. But also the Game of the Year edition of NBA 2K12 for PS3, because now I can play the Legend Showcase, because that's available on that edition of the game. So that was really cool.
Yeah, you were super pumped about that.
Because I thought I missed out.
And you even were able to share gameplay of that mode. I think that the coolest thing about our collections is that they can still continue to grow, right? We don't have all the basketball video games of all time. There are basketball video games that came out on multiple consoles where we just want to own all of them. You know, for example, like NBA Live 2000 came out on PC, right? We both have that. And we both obviously have the PlayStation 1 version of Live 2000. But you know what version I don't have right now, Andrew?
N64. I've got that one, yeah. Yeah, that's
what. Yeah, I don't have that one. And I actually did play that over a friend's house when I was younger. And is it as good as the PC or the PS1 version? No. I from memory, it's not.
No, it's not.
But do I want that in my collection? Absolutely. Do I want the box with it as well, which is kind of hard to get? NBA Live 2000 for N64 boxed. Absolutely. That's what I want for my collection. So that's going to be one of my goals as well in 2024, is to get the different versions of games that I like that I don't have.
That will be something else we do in 2024, adding to the collections, finding those rarities. And of course, I'm sure you will be pointing out some of D's deals.
Absolutely. That's another thing too, is I want to make some more videos on the software I use related to recording gameplay, editing gameplay, you know, where to best practices to get basketball video games, whether it be on PC or console, you know, talking about it on the show as well, you know, what I'm getting for deals for different games or hardware, etc. So, yeah, I mean, that's another goal as well. We have a lot of goals in 2024, let's put it that way.
We will be striving for all of them, obviously. And I just looked up my Webex Wednesday on NBA Action 98, where I made some comparisons to Fast Break 98. And I looked up the manual when I was doing those comparisons, because, of course, Chick Hearn is on the call, as you said, in Action 98. The credited announcer in Fast Break, Ted Bonnet, that made, I don't know whether he's the PA announcer, but he is credited as an announcer in Fast Break 98, so possibly him. I'm not sure, but that's,
I don't even know who that is. Does it say for commentary?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it does. I have to double check myself on that, but I'm pretty sure I saw that in the credits that he was credited as commentary, where Chick Hearn is credited in the in Action 98 on PC and Saturn, obviously. So, but yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. So after this episode, I will be Googling.
But Derek, before we wrap up this first NLC podcast for 2024, let us open up the mailbag.
To the mailman, the pump fake. What an unbelievable dunk!
So I said to the community, let's reflect on basketball gaming in 2023. So what was the community playing? How often, on average, did they play basketball video games each week? And what would have made their years better, basketball gaming-wise?
And just to answer the question about how often, because I guess we kind of answered that with our responses earlier in the show, but I think, on estimation, at least 15 to 20 hours a week for me, I'd say.
It was more for me. I the biggest reason is because I connect with my brothers locally.
Of course.
And every time my brother Mark visits, all three of us are on the sticks, and we will play, just in those evenings, about 4 or 5 hours. On basketball video games, and he visits 2 times a week normally. So you're looking at what, 10 hours just with those sessions? That doesn't count me and Nick playing. It doesn't count with just me and Nick playing. It doesn't count my sessions with you, with the community, when I'm playing solo, etc. Let's just say this, it's a lot, and my girlfriend puts up with it, and I don't know why, but I'm lucky.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I was gonna say 15 to 20 minimum for me, but definitely been some busier weeks on the virtual hardwood. That's what we enjoy doing. Getting to the community's responses now. First up, Devin Ellis says 2K20. And that's a game I think I'm seeing more people have an appreciation for, especially on PC because of Thundershack's rosters.
I'm pretty sure that he uses Thundershack's rosters, if I remember correctly. I think he's commented that he's on PC. And the beautiful thing about Thundershack's roster, similar to the URB and UBR, is it's basically not just a tribute to the past NBA, but almost like unlimited amounts of content for people to sink their teeth into and to give them, you know, fresh experiences with the game, because he has the seasons going back, the single seasons going back to the 80s. And then he also has special rosters as well. I think like an all-time teams roster, et cetera. So, yeah, I think that projects like Thundershacks, like the URB, the UBR, et cetera, those are timeless, and those sometimes give people the most amount of hours into a video game in general.
I mean, they'll keep you hooked. Absolutely. No question about that. And to that point, Garva says 2K16 with the 2010 roster, and shout out to Sticky Fingers. And yeah, that was an awesome project. We've covered it a couple of times, mentioned that the beta version is out there. 2K16, also a game that we both really appreciate. And to freshen that up, to your point, with a 2010 roster, makes it even more fun.
I'm slapping myself in the face right now because I haven't downloaded that. I'm so disappointed in myself, because I really do enjoy NBA 2K16, especially with the slider tweaks that I've made over the last couple of years. And I really want to play that 09-10 roster, and I just haven't gotten around to downloading it. So I need to do that. I know that Sticky Fingers has done great work on that roster, and specifically with the art portion of it, with creating cyberfaces and updating cyberfaces that are already in the game and making them year specific. I know that he is a stickler for attention to detail, so I know that that roster is going to play accurately. So I need to get on that and download that ASAP.
Same. Another resolution for 2024.
There you go.
We're not running out of them anytime soon. But next up we have Steven, the Live King, of course, played a lot of 2K23, but also went back to old 2Ks and NBA Live games. 2K14 has been a breath of fresh air because you can tell passion was put into that game. I normally play every night, but with 2K24, I've been substituting it for shooters like Apex and Battlefield. And of course, even with us, Derek, other games, Fallout in my case, for example, do make their way into the rotation as well.
One of my favorite things about the Live King is that he always keeps an open mind when it comes to gaming, basketball games or otherwise. But what's really cool is where he had this intense interest in 2K14 for a while. And I'm not talking about the Xbox One or PS4 version. I'm talking about the PS3 version. And just seeing the hit those highlights of him playing that game, and then he had some submissions to the top 10 from that game, etc., shows you how much of an open mind he has. He doesn't feel like he has to play the newest game, Andrew. Right?
Definitely.
But he doesn't feel
like
he has to be on 2K23 or 2K24. He doesn't feel like he has to play the most recent NBA Live, because, you know, he revisits NBA Live 09, Live 10, etc. But yeah, that's what's cool about so much of the NLSE community in general, is the fact that they do have an open mind and they're willing to revisit these past titles, and they don't feel like they have to play the newest game.
And we're big advocates for that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we practice what we preach, too.
Definitely.
You see all the gameplays that all the gameplay videos that go up from games spanning, you know, four decades. So, yeah.
Next up, we have Trent says, being sick the second half of the year and stuck at home the last 3 months, I've sunk a lot of time into gaming, especially basketball games. I found enjoyment in 2K24, played a ton of ESPN NBA 2K4 on Xbox Live with Insignia. It's been awesome being on OG Xbox Live again. And first of all, sorry to hear that you've been under the weather for the second half of the year. All the best wishes to you for a speedy recovery, but I'm glad to hear that basketball gaming has been a refuge from that.
Yeah, we hope you feel better. I've been keeping track of your updates on X and everything, so hopefully you've turned the corner in the right direction. Really cool to hear that you're playing not only the newest title, but also a mid-2000s 2K. I think that there's something special about those 2Ks. It's before they truly took over NBA Live as the dominant force in the basketball gaming space. So you can see some of the effort that was put into those games and the different things that they were trying from a gameplay and presentation perspective, and even mode perspective, trying to differentiate themselves from NBA Live. And I think that 2K4 is definitely one of the unique titles in the 2K series.
One of the games that I'll have to go back and spend more time with. I do have it in the collection, of course. So, once again, resolutions, Derek.
The way I've always looked at it is that if you liked NBA 2K6, then you are going to enjoy 2K4 and 2K5. Because I think that the gameplay on all three of those is so similar. It feels like they're using the same gameplay engine. The controls are very similar. So you were big into NBA 2K6 in 2023. I think that you'd be able to hit the ground running with 2K4 and 2K5.
Certainly bodes well. Absolutely. Next up, we have Bryant Gumbo at 1UP Giraffic on X, of course. Played 2K23 for a while, then started going back to modding on PC, playing 2K12 on there. And 2K12, another game that's kind of overlooked because we think of 2K11, Derek, and 2K13, big steps forward with the right stick dribbling, and 2K14, iconic. But 2K12, I think, did we play that one this year together?
We did not connect on 2K12, but
we'll
have talked about it.
We'll have to.
That's
yeah.
Another 2024 goal.
There you go.
There's so many of them now. It's a laundry list. What he did going from 2K23 down to 2K12 actually reminds me of what modder and awesome community member Peace Man Not did recently. You know, he was modding. I want to say it was NBA 2K19. I think he dabbled in some modding with some of the newer 2Ks, and then just completely changed course and started a project on NBA 2K11 for the PC.
He was
updating all the stadiums and some of the players and the jerseys and all of that stuff. And he has a thread in the 2K11 section for that. And I think that that can be a refreshing experience for somebody. It also reminds me of you being so locked into the My Career grind and whatnot for so many years. And then just kind of rediscovering your love for basketball video games by revisiting, you know, the classics,
for
right?
Sure.
You know, the early 2000s 2Ks, the, you know, NBA Live 10 and prior, and the mid 90s NBA Lives and everything. Like, it can definitely be like an eye-opening experience and be super refreshing just to go back to something that you know you enjoyed, right, at the time, that something that you know you love to, you know, pick up the sticks on. And I think that that's probably what he was doing.
No, I absolutely relate to that. Next up we have Dion says, I've been playing NBA 2K24. I was playing every day in the city, but then I stopped and was waiting for the ratings update and the Christmas game to start a franchise. I'm finally going to start my franchise and can't wait. To me, everything is great for basketball gaming. 2K to me doesn't miss, and when there is issues, they fix it.
Well, I don't agree with that last piece, but I will say that Dion is funny, and he has habits that remind me of myself when it comes to sports gaming, and I'm sure you can relate to this as well. I've never seen somebody on X talk about starting over a new franchise more than him. He can never decide which team he wants to use. He'll use a team for a few games and then switch. Or he'll ask the community to be like, oh, you know what? I've started multiple seasons. I don't know which team to use. Out of these four teams, which one would you, do you think I should start a franchise on? And what start a franchise with? And I just think that it's so funny because think about how many times in your life, Andrew, that you've started a season or a My League or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you've gotten one game in or four games in or even 10 games in, and you're just like, all right, I don't want to use this team anymore.
Not feeling it.
I made this trade and that was stupid.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah.
Or I ruined this experience and now I need to use a different franchise. Or this is too easy. Like, I'm using too good of a team.
Exactly.
You know, I need to use a rebuilding one. So I find that his sports gaming habits are funny, but at the same time, completely relatable.
Very relatable. Yeah. We've had quite a few people in the story section in the NLSC forum over the years, starting many stories. In fact, Thierry was notorious for it. That was kind of the running gag with him. Had some great stories, but yeah, he'd kind of lose interest after a while. And you know, sometimes you get a couple of years out of a franchise or career mode game. That's all you want. You know, Kenny went 17 years with the next level in NBA Live 10 with the Nuggets, and you know, that was pretty rare. 6 years in my career for me is quite rare. That's the longest I've gone into in my career before. So a lot of people do start over after 2 or 3 years, but sometimes earlier, you know, if you, like you say, you play 5 or 10 games or even less and you realize, oh, this wasn't the right choice, and better to abandon that and start something that you do enjoy potentially.
Yeah, in video games you can start over. In video games you have the reset button.
Exactly.
Right? Or the power button. In life you don't get that many chances.
Unfortunately,
so,
not. No.
Yeah, let's take advantage of it on the virtual hardwood.
And one last response from X before we head over to the NLSC Discord. Ricky says, hey guys, big fan of your podcast. Thank you very much. The past 2 years, NBA 2K16 exclusively, a bit of 2K17 as well from time to time. I play my My League save with the Pistons 3 to 4 times a week, doing a player lock my career thing with a created player, and using offline rosters and draft classes for it. And yeah, that's really cool. I love franchise gaming. Haven't done as much of it as I would like in recent years, being so hooked on my career before that, too much of the grinding in the newer games. But I love that approach to franchise gaming and sticking with a favorite. I mean, I can definitely relate to that as well.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that Ricky enjoys that old motion system, right? I'm sure he loves that 2K16, 2K17 motion system, and he enjoys his time on the virtual hardwood as a result. Otherwise, he wouldn't be sticking with those games. Yeah, I think that 2K16 and 2K17 are two of the best games in the NBA 2K series. You and I, you know, we revisit them often and it never gets old. You had your best online experience ever with NBA 2K17. It's the most time you've ever spent online on a video game. So yeah, I think that I appreciate his appreciation for those two titles, and also the fact that, you know, he enjoys listening to the podcast, and, you know, we'll try to keep putting out great shows for you.
Absolutely. Thank you again for the kind words there. Heading over to the NLSC Discord now, Juicy Shackmeat says, in 2023, I've played 2K23, 2K24, Live 2004, NBA Street Volume 2, and Virtua NBA. During 2K23's My Team seasons, I played about 40 hours a week. After August, I only played around 20 hours a week with the other games. I think I'm enjoying playing more when not chasing any online rewards. I'm 100% positive my basketball gaming year improves upon acquiring a better gaming computer, which I plan on doing next year. Looking forward to submitting better quality footage of my highlights for the top 10. And obviously, I know you're going to touch on Virtua NBA because that's one of your holy grails, I believe. But I absolutely relate to my enjoyment going down when I focus too much on seasonal rewards and and trying and falling victim to FOMO. Like, I've got to get all these rewards before the next season rolls over. So as much as that can be a positive for my team and my career, I also think it's too easy to focus on seasonal rewards to the detriment of the on-court experience. So I definitely get what he's talking about there. And Live 2004, Street Volume 2 are a couple of games that jump out to me as well. And once again, shout out to Juicy Shackmeat. Released some great mods over the years and great member of the forum and Discord.
I don't want my basketball gaming to be put on a time limit, Andrew. I don't want a game to pressure me.
Yep.
I don't want a game to force me to log on every day. I don't want a game to, you know, pressure me into spending money, all of this stuff. That's why I stay away. That's one of the big reasons why I stay away from, you know, games that push that stuff and that somewhat require that stuff in order to move forward. So, that's number one. Number two, Virtua NBA. I still want to get my hands on a physical copy of that. I'd like to get a Sega Naomi and Virtua NBA, which is a few hundred dollars at minimum. I've done some searching online, and the reason why it hasn't been brought up as a D's deal is because it's damn expensive.
Yeah.
Andrew. And a few hundred dollars minimum. So I do plan on picking that up. I think that game is super unique. I think that the graphics are insane for the time. I think the gameplay is super limited overall. You can't even really do dribble moves or anything like that in that game. But there's definitely a huge draw in the graphics department and in the simple gameplay department if you like those sorts of games. In relation to the games that he's playing, I know that he didn't list all of them because he's talked about other basketball video games that he's played this year, including showing like screenshots of games he's picked up or games on his TV, etc. So Juicy Shackmeat is awesome because he's another gamer with an open mind and he just plays what he wants to play. Hopefully these games don't pressure him into making him feel like he has to play them.
It becomes a job rather than fun then.
Right, exactly. I also want to point out that I appreciate his dedication to the top 10. He loves watching it every week. And bring on the highlights. So, you know, if you can find a way to record your footage in higher quality or record your footage at all and you want to send me some highlights, I would love to see them. If you need any tips on what software we recommend, just reach out.
And finally, we have NBA Live Dude, and if you follow NBA Live Dude's YouTube channel, you know that he plays a variety of games. To that point, he says, been playing everything, but to name a few, NCAA Basketball 10, Live 10, College Hoops 2K8, NBA 2K13, March Madness 06, and many others thanks to Parsec. As a rule of thumb, I try to average at least 15 to 30 minutes on the sticks daily. I sometimes detox from the sticks so that my return is more rejuvenated. You would be great if we got some type of PS4 or Xbox One emulator that can run AAA titles. I would say a new NBA Live, but I'm trying to think more realistically. And I'm not as optimistic about Live as I know you are, Derek. Fingers crossed, and with it being the 30th anniversary, what a great time to come back, quite frankly. But great selection of games there from NBA Live, dude. Love seeing his footage, of course, and had a great game with Wizkard Rush's 2009 rosters for Live 10. Sometimes taking a break and coming back, whether it's from gaming in general or a specific title, really does give you that rejuvenation, lets you see a game with fresh eyes. And PS4, Xbox One emulator would be really cool, but I think that's going to take some time to work out the hardware. And of course, if we're going to do that, we'll need a Blu-ray drive to do that.
Yeah, can I also say something? He brings up a super underrated aspect of basketball gaming that I wish actually more people did. He mentioned having a 15 to 30 minute session. How many times have I reached out to you when I had like 30 minutes to spare? And I said, hey, Andrew, I have like 30 minutes. You want to play a game real quick?
Let's play a game. Yeah.
Let's play a game. That 30 minutes can make your day. Right.
Definitely.
And it can keep things fresh. It can keep you sharp on the sticks, etc. I know that there's been multiple times in 2023 where I reached out to you and I said, hey, I got 30 minutes. And we played what, two or three games of NBA Jam on Fire Edition and then called it quits.
Exactly. Like,
that was a blast. You don't have to sit in front of your computer or in front of your console and play for hours on end. It doesn't need to be a full-on session that takes up the majority of your day. A 15 to 30 minute session on a basketball video game can still be a hell of a lot of fun. So, no, I love the fact that he brought that up. I also noticed a theme here, and I think you do as well. When people are talking about you know, their year in basketball gaming, the majority are not saying, I'm playing NBA 2K or I'm playing NBA Live. It's I'm playing NBA 2K games, NBA Live games, NCAA basketball, March Madness,
Jam,
Jam, etc. Like, you're hearing that there's no bias, right? There's no, you know, F Live or F2K. There's no, you know,
tribalism,
basically,
yeah.
Say, right, there's no tribalism, exactly. And I really love that about
same.
The people we interact with in the NLSC community, the people that submit plays for the top 10, the people that are talking on the Discord, the people in the on the NLSC threads, like on the website and whatnot. It's like, you know what? If the basketball game is fun, it's fun, and I don't care who the developer is, right? If I want to play a game, I don't care what other people think about it. I want to play that game, and I'm going to talk about that game, and I don't care if it came out from EA Sports, if it was created by 2K, if it was made by 989 Sports, etc. So, like, I love that about the NLSC community.
Absolutely. No, I love that attitude. We don't need to have that tribalism. We need to support basketball gaming. We want to see that. We'd love to see that choice back in the space. In lieu of that, being able to revisit the classics is a great way of doing it.
Oh, 100%. And that's one of the great things about the NLSC YouTube content that goes up, the gameplay videos, is you have games, you know, from Fox Sports NBA Basketball 2000. We had NBA in the Zone 2 in there made by Konami. We have NBA Live 16. We have NBA 2K14. It's just, you name the company and we have a gameplay video up for it. Right? And I really enjoy that about the content.
I do too. And that will continue in 2024, obviously, and it's great that the community is on the same page in that respect. And we also love the interaction. Thank you for all of the responses to the prompt for this first episode of 2024. And Derek, throughout 2023, our listener interaction was just fantastic. We have some awesome listeners who love engaging with us. We love engaging with them. So please keep it coming throughout this year.
Yeah, we love the community. We love everything that's going on X, as far as you sharing your highlights and the videos, and, you know, King J Mace letting us know when he's streaming and running tournaments, you know, all the conversation that takes place on the Discord and the Parsec session or in the general or in the NBA basketball discussion or in the other game section, all of that. The, you know, the videos we see you putting up on YouTube, your comments in the NLSC forum, it your comments on our YouTube videos that we post, whether it's my gameplay videos or Andrew's, whether it be the top 10 or the podcast, etc. You guys rock, and, you know, you really help motivate Andrew and I.
I agree wholeheartedly. Absolutely. Couldn't say it better. With that being said, that has brought us to the end of this week's show. As always, we thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week. And throughout 2024, either on the NLSC, nb-live.com, our YouTube channel, or your podcast app of choice. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media, so that you can get in touch with us, and of course, stay up to date with all of our content. So Derek, go ahead and plug the handles.
Yeah, you can reach me on X at D43G and at D4384. I'm also on YouTube, D43, and on the NLSC, D43.
I am Andrew in the forum, and Andrew NLSC on X. The NLSC is on X and Facebook at the NLSC. We're also NLSC Basketball on Instagram and Threads. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. So, thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone!